Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for staying with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. Very glad that Judith Glaser is with us, ladies and gentlemen. Judith is the author of the outstanding book called Creating We. She is an executive consultant and a coach that we've told you about many times before. She is she's had a very interesting career. Also, by the way, 42 Rules for Creating We. That's another book. Also, The DNA of Leadership is another book that she's written. And Judith she's traveled the world, but recently she was in Dubai, one of the Emirates, over on the Persian Gulf, on the Arabian Gulf, depending on who you're talking to. And I asked Judy to come back and talk to us a little bit about her experience there. Judy Glaser, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be back this morning.
It's good to have you back, Judy. I told you, and I don't know if I've ever mentioned this to my audience or not, but I travel to that part of the world, depending on whether you're talking to an Iranian or an Arab, it's the Persian Gulf and the Arabian Gulf. You got to know the difference. But they're Arab Emirates, members of the United Arab Emirates, that are over there, Abu Dhabi, Dubai, Sharjah. And I traveled over there and did a little business back in the 80s. And I haven't been back since. And I bet I would not recognize Dubai.
Dubai, in 10 years, has lifted itself up out of the sand. And I'm literally the sand, because they leveled everything. They leveled what was there. Most people were living out in tents anyway, but they leveled what they had. And then they started to build it up. And Abu Dhabi put in money, like amazing amount of money.
Yeah.
And
Abu Dhabi is just the emirate just north of Dubai, about 90 kilometers north of Dubai. And, you know, when I was there, they weren't intense, but the buildings were single-story, mostly single-story buildings. And they were, you know, they were doing business. They had commerce there. And it was, you know, it was just a sleepy little Middle Eastern town in those days.
Yep.
But
and
it's
they
not
had
like
to learn
that now.
Well, they had to learn, because so much money came in in a short amount of time, that they all grew up with a whole different, in just a short amount of time, a completely different view of what the world was and what the economy is and what their power was, you know, or what they wanted their power to be.
And sadly, that did come in very quickly and too quickly. Mm-hmm. And they now know that they've made some mistakes.
Yeah. Well, so we all make mistakes in learning.
Not me, Judith. So you were invited to speak to an audience. Tell us who you were speaking to.
It's a very unusual thing. It was an audience of 450 people. Almost 100% were from Dubai or from Abu Dhabi. They were people who were interested in the role that human resources was going to play in the next decade. And they came from three different places. One, where human resource people were there. That was a large part. Next were executives who wanted to learn how to utilize human resource people to help change their companies. Mm-hmm. and so forth. And the last were, they had sheikhs. They had eight important dignitaries that came and sat in the front row who wanted to also hear this, because they felt that this was going to impact how they were thinking or going to think about how to grow the country's capacity.
I know the word just rippled through the countryside over there that Judith Glaser was coming to town, and that's why they were there. The sheikhs were there because they knew, you know, an oracle was coming to speak to them.
Oh, yes, sweet.
And so what did you talk to him about?
Well, let me just also anchor one more thing. The company that created this, it's one of their largest telecom companies, and they created an academy, and it's ETISALAT. Is the name of the telecom mm-hmm. company. And so they built this academy so that they could not just teach people inside, but also teach people from other countries. So I thought, and companies. So I thought that was very cool.
And these folks in this region are hungry for ideas on how to manage your people, because they don't have a long history, as we do in America, of business management.
That's correct.
And so they're tapping into our history by inviting you over and by learning, and good for them for being so open about these things.
I think it's amazing. And we had 8 speakers, and the speakers were from France, from Canada, from United States had probably the lion's share, but they were from all over the world. And there was supposed to be another keynote speaker that was going to open the conference, and unfortunately, he got a heart attack.
Wow!
2 weeks before the event, so they picked me to be the keynote.
and a good decision they made. And so you made your presentation. What was the essence of your presentation?
I talked about the neuroscience of we. As you know, I talk a lot about.
As you've talked to us many times on the show before.
Exactly, and I wanted to bring that to Dubai. And I didn't know how well it would translate, I have to tell you.
Right.
And so they had a translator in the back in his booth, and I...
Anybody who was there who was any kind of a decision maker of any kind spoke English?
Yeah, so 50% of the people did speak English, yeah. But there were an awful lot of people with headsets.
But the people that you really wanted to reach, that you wanted to reach at that moment, I promise you, they spoke English.
Well, I know that the sheiks in the front row did.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if you got any kind of an education at all in that part of the world, you speak English. Go ahead.
So I started to talk about the concept of we and what does we mean. And as you know, I go into things about the brain and that we have 5 brains, not one. And I didn't filter any of that out. I really wanted to present my best current thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And about 20 minutes, I came to one slide that got the most attention. And what the slide was a hierarchy from the lowest level to the highest level of what we look for in organizations that are evolving to their greatness and who are really tapping into the most of what human beings have to offer. And the first rung, the lowest rung, is win at all cost.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that caused a rumble in the room because this is a culture that wants to win. I mean,
mm-hmm.
it's a culture that has invested a lot in winning.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see the looks on people's faces, and I'm saying to myself in my own brain, are you sure you want to do this later? And then I worked my way up. The next one is conflict avoidance is the next level up. So win at all costs, conflict avoidance doesn't sound so good
mm-hmm.
if you start to factor in the two together, because it there's a dynamic there that often means that people are out to win and other people are going to lose, and you can't talk about it. And the last thing is compromise is not good. And I said, pretend that you had a culture where all three of those dynamics were at play. Sit at your table and talk about what it means.
Mm-hmm.
And the room erupted, because that's very catalytic for most people.
Right, right.
Right? And so we talked and talked and talked about it. And then
Hold on that thought. Review those three again for us.
Okay.
Quickly.
It's win at all costs.
Right.
Avoiding conflict.
Right.
And compromise is good.
Compromise is good. Okay.
Right.
We're going to come back and talk about this some more after these messages. I'm very excited to have Judith Glaser back on the show to talk to us about her recent trip, what she learned in her giving her speech in Dubai. She and I will be right back 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Oh, how build you kingdom in that house.
There was no use talking. There was nothing to say when the band began to play, and we danced.
Welcome back. 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. Lots of good stuff there. We'll help you with your small business, whether it be archives that you of past interviews that we've done in categories listed by Brain Trust member, by topic, whatever you got on your mind. Articles, we've got the same thing with articles, same thing with Brain Trust members. The blog is there. Don't forget to subscribe to my newsletter. Lots of stuff. And by the way, our poll question this week is on what the government should do with the tax cuts. Should they extend them or should they not extend them? We'd like to have your thoughts on that. So check that out at smallbusinessadvocate.com. Judith Glaser is our guest. She's the author of The DNA of Leadership, also Creating We, and we're talking about her recent trip to Dubai. Judith, tell us how we can find you and your books.
And the website is www.creatingwe.com, CREATING.
And the whole premise behind we is it's not I, right?
It's not I.
It's the anti-I, right?
well, this is what we say. We say that a lot of people say there's no I in team.
Right.
Actually, we disagree with that. We say that teams are made up of lots of I's. And when we start to honor the needs and aspirations of the I's inside the we, you automatically become a we.
Mm-hmm.
And we've made it too difficult for people. And that's,
right.
That's the talk that I was giving in Dubai, actually, when we ended, we just finished talking about the three most important things that stop a culture from becoming a we-centric culture is that they get trapped in a win-at-all-cost mentality.
Right.
They're conflict-averse.
That sounds like Wall Street right now.
Exactly. No, I know.
It sounds like Washington and Wall Street. I'm serious. That's how I feel. Go ahead.
Well, we'll talk.
Win at all costs,
conflict averse, and consensus building and compromise are good.
Right.
And the reason why the three of them, when they're together, and we see 95% of cultures go there, is that people are afraid to push back when it's win at all cost and it's the boss.
Yeah.
And you don't agree with the boss, and you want to raise an objection or a concern,
right,
and you can't do it, then you become, there's a conflict aversion in the culture.
And that's when the values are established for that organization.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah. Right,
and the word on the street in essence is, you can't push back against your boss. You have to start to try to influence people your way, and all of a sudden you have a toxic political culture.
Right. All
okay?
right.
So they got so excited about that concept. There was another person. People kept raising their hands, and one of them said, are you telling me, we've been taught that compromise is good. Are you telling me that it's not good? And I went into this whole dynamic about the boss and what happens behind the scenes. And the sheik in the front row raised his hand. He said, could you please just take a second and go back on that thought? He wanted me to really get, like, what is we? What is the difference then between I and we? And I said, in a we-centric culture, people really can have their own points of view. Conflict is seen as an opportunity to talk about our own perspectives and why they are important. All perspectives have to count because you can't get to a good we unless people feel that you're gaining more. If people have to give up and compromise, compromise means give up what you want for somebody else and hope that you'll get it back later. Now you're playing a game. That's the I gotcha game.
And we is also presuming that diversity of opinion in a decision-making process is a healthy thing too, isn't it?
That's correct. It does assume diversity is important. And here's the reality. Every human being is making a picture of the reality that they want to live in their head.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means to be a human being. So it's clear we're going to have bumper car accidents all the time because I may want the same thing you want, or
right,
I may want more of it. But that's what we've got to talk about. And when we do that, we start to broaden the pie. We start to open the landscape. We don't close it down. We don't feel like we have to give up to get there. We make it bigger.
Right.
And that is what I'm seeing, by the way. There's a wonderful TV show now called Collaboration that actually is doing case studies of Dubai and China and how they are coming to the plate. Harvard is doing these research, by the way, around this, that they are coming to the plate wanting to expand the pie bigger than what it's ever been expanded before. And that is very cool.
See, I wonder if they had heard your speech 10 years ago, if they would be in a little bit better physical condition right now.
Yeah.
Because I can imagine that a lot of decisions to invest and build over there were made unilaterally by the guy with the checkbook and the ego, and not so much by discussing it and getting input from a lot of people around them. What do you think?
Well, what I think is that what they're doing is that, you know, they've created these islands out in Dubai. They built them. They brought sand out. One looks like the globe, right?
Yeah.
Another one looks like palms.
Right.
And they are opening it up for people to invest in living there. And they have 80% of the people in Dubai are from outside of Dubai.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? So they're trying to build a commerce at a global level, whether you like it or not. They're starting to bring something to the table that is a new way of thinking.
But
and I think it's worth the dance.
The thing that I wanted to point out, though, is that, Judy, is that what I was just saying about, you know, I wonder if their decision making would have been different if they'd listened to you 10 years ago. I think that's where a lot of small businesses are right now, folks. As you are making plans for the future, think about the things that Judy's talking about with regard to decision making and getting your other folks involved. How the culture is being developed is developing in your company. And that's the reason why I recommend whatever Judy does to you folks. Think about this. If you're the owner, you know, you're a pretty smart person, but you don't have all the answers. And that's what Judy's work is all about. Judy, give us that website one more time, please.
www.creatingwe.com.
And you find all your books there, and Can they find your article on this topic? Is that there as well?
The article is my website. So if you go to my that website address, yeah, sign up for the newsletter, you can get all of my newsletters, and that's one of them.
Thank you, Judy, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you so much.
See you next time. Judith Glaser, ladies and gentlemen. She'll be back. I will be too after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.